Hello again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to our latest installment of Hebrew Treasures. If you've been keeping up with these teachings, you know that we've been working our way through Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and discussing each and every word in that verse. So now we come to the last word in Genesis 1, 1. Back one more time, let's read that verse in Hebrew. I want you to see it here. It says, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Now today, again, as we said, the word we're going to focus on is aretz. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it's actually written as ha'aretz. But the ha, or the he, is the definite article translated as the. And we're just going to remove that and focus on the root word aretz, which is aleph resh zadeh, aretz, which is translated earth. Now, it's also translated in different places as things like country, land, territory, things like that. In fact, let's read here in Genesis chapter 12 to see one of these examples. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And so in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the word aretz actually appears twice. And the first time, it's translated country. Get out of your country, aretz. But then it's also in this same verse when it says to go to a land that I will show you. Of course, we know that that is speaking of the land of Canaan, later to be called Israel. But what's interesting here is that the word that is translated a land is actually ha'aretz, literally the land. In other words, go to the land that I will show you. And here's why I think this is very, very interesting. You know, on the surface, as we said, aretz can be translated earth, land, territory, country, things like that. But in Genesis chapter 1, it's ha'aretz, the earth. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it's ha'aretz, translated the land. So here's what I'm getting at. There is a hint in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that not only did God create the earth, the planet, and all the land mass, but in the beginning, He established a particular land, the land, that would later be called Israel, as the focus of what He was going to do in the earth. Now, like every other Hebrew word and phrase that we look at, context means everything. And so we have to, you know, look at Genesis 1:1, and on the surface, initially, obviously, it is talking about the land and the planet and the ground itself. But again, we also look at Hebrew as hinting at different things, and ha'aretz, translated the land, hints to us of the land of Israel. So once again, in the beginning, when He created everything, He already had established the land as a place that He would use in the earth. And so He calls Avram to come out of Babylon, out of that country, and to go to the land that I will show you. So this land, of course, that He's coming from, Babylon, spiritually is dry, it's barren, it's desert, it's void of anything that is of any spiritual value. But when He crosses over into the land, this is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It has everything there that a man is going to need, spiritually speaking, but not just spiritually, but also physically. It's a land that provides all of our basic needs. As a matter of fact, the word aretz, which is the root word, hints at or defines something that is solid, that is the basis of things. It provides everything we need. And so that's what we see not only in the word aretz as the earth, but more specifically, the land. The land that God gave to His people is going to be where He gives them everything they need. Their physical needs are met, their spiritual needs are met. Now, there is a related Hebrew word to aretz, which again is spelled aleph resh zadeh, but this related word is spelled, and I want to show it to you, ayin resh shin, and it's pronounced eresh, or it means cradle. And this word, Erish, is derived from a root word that means framework, which hints at things basic or the initiation of something. And in fact, sometimes this word Erish is translated as cradle. Of course, the cradle would hint at what? Where everything emanates from. Everything gets started here, and then it, you know, it spreads out from there, so to speak. Because what God is going to do in the earth is going to be initiated in the land of Canaan, Haaretz, as it's referred to in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. But it's not going to stay there. It's going to spread out from there. Now, this word Erish is also translated in certain places as throne. So what that hints to me, at least, is that the land, Haaretz, the land of Canaan, the land that would be called Israel, not only is it going to be the place where what God is doing in the earth emanates from, but it's also going to be where He establishes His throne, where He sets His name, as He said. And in fact, Isaiah 16 tells us this, that in mercy the throne will be established, and one will sit on it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. Now, this same word is related to an Ethiopian term. This word Erish is what we're referring to. It's related to an Ethiopian term, Arish, which means a booth or a tent, which is kind of interesting because many of you are familiar with the Hebrew term Sukkot, which is booths or tents. And we celebrate the festival of Sukkot, the festival of booths, because the feast of booths is, number one, to cause us to remember the wandering in the wilderness. But the wandering of the wilderness is to accentuate the luxury, if I can use that word, or the goodness that comes with dwelling in the land. Because once again, in the land is where we have the source for all of our needs, both physical and spiritual. Spiritual, because that's where the Creator sets His name. That's where He has chosen to reside amongst His people. And when did He decide He was going to do this? Well, based on what we see in Genesis 1:1, Haaretz, and it being connected to Genesis 12:1, Haaretz, referring to the land, well, that's where He wanted us to be. He wants to be in our midst so that He can provide all of our needs. And so this idea of booths and or tents being related to the word for cradle, throne, etc., I think is kind of interesting. Now, going back to the word Arets, Aleph, Resh, Zadeh, there is, in rabbinical literature, it's taught that there is a secondary meaning to this word, or actually, you should rephrase that. There is a word that is related to Arets, and that word is Ratzah, which kind of gives us the secondary meaning of Arets. And Ratzah means to desire something, to will, to satisfy, even to select something. And the root word, ratzah, gives us the noun form ratzon, which is will, W-I-L-L. In other words, as in God's will. So, ratzah means to desire something, to will something, to choose, to select something. And so, in the beginning, what was His will? What was He suggesting to us in the beginning? Well, first of all, that there was the land that He was going to use, that He was going to set His presence there, that He was going to live among His people, so that dwelling amongst His people could be a light to all the other nations. And from the cradle, so to speak, from where His throne was, what He wanted to do throughout the earth would emanate from this particular place. So that's what we see in the beginning, the will of the Creator being manifest from the very beginning. And now that He brings His people into this land, to settle in this land, He selects, in other words, His people to dwell in this land because it's His will that they be that light unto the nations. If you look at a globe and you find Israel, you will see that it is in the midst of the nations. It's in the middle. It's bordered on the west by the Mediterranean Sea. Mediterranean means middle earth. So He places the land that he's going to set his name in the middle of the earth. Well, he also selects a people, calls forth a people, desires a people to fulfill his will in the earth, to dwell in this land, to be where they're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. And all of this that is his will is conveyed to us in the very beginning, when it says that in the beginning he created the heavens and ha'aretz, the land, this land that would be placed in the midst of the nations. And so that's why Avram was called from Babylon, from all the other nations, to come into the land. And here's the objective that was given to Avram in Genesis chapter 12. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So going back to the concept of his will being performed, his will was that all the families of the earth would be blessed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But he selected, chose, desired, willed, ratzah, he desired that this be done through Abraham and through his seed. And again, he selected them to be in this particular place, to be in the land. And in the land, they would be honoring him with their obedience, doing what he's called them to be doing, so that they would prosper, their needs would be supplied, but also the spiritual needs of many could be met if they were where they were supposed to be. So then all of creation is his house. And from the very beginning, the Creator has wanted to build his house so that he and his people could commune with one another. But when he's in their midst, there being a light to the nations, these nations are seeing that light, hopefully being drawn to that light. And that's his will, that we fulfill our mandate to be a light to the nations. In fact, we could insinuate that he's kind of counting on Israel to do that. And that's interesting because a secondary meaning of ratzah, to will, to desire, to select, is to count, to enumerate, to pay something off, which would imply there's a creditor out there. So how do we connect that to the idea that Israel is called to be a light to the nations? Well, because Israel has been given something, and that they have been given is given to them so that they can turn it into more, so that they can generate something else, so that there's something to count. To make my point, let me read to you from the Gospel of Luke the parable about the menim. In Luke 19, verse 12, it says this, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 menim, and said to them, 'Do business till I come.'" And so again, in this parable, the servants are given something. Something is entrusted to them, and they're told, "Do business." Well, obviously, they're going to do the master's business. And so that they've been given is intended to be used for his purposes to generate more. And of course, in the parable, we read how that he returns and he calls the one servant, and the one servant has taken the one and turned it into 10, and the next servant has taken one and generated 5, but then he comes to the last servant who went and hid it in the backyard. My point is that what they were given, they were chosen, they were selected to do a particular job, to do his business. But it was expected of them to take what they'd been given, to invest it, so to speak, to generate more of the same, so that when the master comes, what does he do? He counts it. He enumerates, so to speak, ratzah. And in effect, they are paying off. They're giving him what he was expecting of them. Another example of this is, I believe, found in the Gospel of Matthew in the parable of the vineyard. Yeshua describes the vineyard that a man had. He let it out to vine dressers who were given the instructions to render the fruits of it. In other words, they were given access to the vineyard, but they were given the responsibility to make sure that they work the vineyard so that it produces its fruit. Well, the implication would be so that in the vintage time, when the owner sends his servants to collect what is his, he's going to count it. He's going to enumerate, so to speak, and what they, for lack of a better word, owe him, they're going to give it to him. The same concept in the parable of the menim. All of this is tied to the term ratzah, which is in turn connected to aretz, the land, the earth. And so where is the vineyard? The vineyard is a picture of Israel, not just the people, but the land as well. But in the parable of the vineyard in Matthew, the people who were given the responsibility to work the vineyard, to make sure that it produced fruit, well, they didn't do such a good job, and so, well, you know the story. All I'm trying to say here is that the land was created for a purpose. And when I say the land of Israel specifically. And the purpose was that it might serve the Master's will. And He selected a people to live in that land, not just to have houses, not just to have vineyards, but to be a light to other nations, to be that source of blessing to all the nations of the earth. Now, this word, ratzah, that means to enumerate, to count, and so on, can also be translated as to recount or to discourse. The English equivalent of this would be the word tell, T-E-L-L, which means to recount something, to enter into a discourse. And so what this then suggests is that the land, Ha'aretz, has a story to tell us. It has something that it wants to demonstrate to us. When the land of Israel, throughout its history, has been inhabited by God's people, the right people who were supposed to be there, and then they have been doing what they were instructed to do, walking according to His commandments, then the land would flourish. It would produce its fruit. The land would be given its rain in due season. But also we see in the Scripture that when the people of Israel were in disobedience, or when the land of Israel was inhabited or possessed by other than Israel, that the land became desolate, suggesting to us that the land has a story to tell. It's going to recount something to us. And that seems to be this, that this land was designed for a particular people. That's not to say for a particular ethnic group necessarily, but for a particular people. That is His people, because that was His will from the beginning. He selected people to be in this land, to be a light to the nations. And when those people are there doing what they're supposed to be doing, well, then the land produces its fruit. But when they're not there, or when they're not walking in obedience, the land doesn't produce its fruit. It lies desolate. So the story that the land tells us is that there's something in the dirt. There's something there that responds to His people and to either their obedience or the disobedience. And so I'm going to read to you now from Ezekiel 36 to kind of underscore this point, because the prophet foretells of a day when we will see this land respond to His people and those people returning to God and to His ways. It starts in verse 34. It says this, "The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. And so they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." And so in short, here's what the land, Ha'aretz, tells us. This is the story, that He is the Lord, that He is the one who from the very beginning, who created the heavens and the earth, He created it for His purposes, for His will to be performed. And everything in the creation declares that He is the Lord. Everything declares that His will is going to be done. And everything He desired, everything that He determined was going to occur, and specifically in the land, that was established in the very beginning, in Ha'aretz, in the earth, in the land. So I hope that these thoughts and concepts have made sense to you. Just to kind of summarize very quickly, Aretz, it's translated earth, but it's also translated land. And as I said at the very beginning, I believe that that is hinting at the land, because it's in the land of Canaan and through God's people Israel that His will, His desire, His plan for all of humanity would be manifest. And that if His people that would take that what they were given, this message, this word, this incorruptible seed, and that they would produce the fruit of it, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, then the families of the earth would be blessed. And it's through this land that He tells His story, that He tells and demonstrates His purposes and His will to all the earth, so that in the end, everyone shall know that He is the Lord. Hey, thanks for joining me, and we'll see you again in our next installment of Hebrew Treasures. Until then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.